Thanks, Amanda. Welcome, everyone, to the bidder webcast for the March 2022 auction under AEP Ohio's competitive bidding process. My name is Katie Orlandi, and presenting with me today is Rachel Northcutt and Matt Pettit. We're from NERA Economic Consulting and serve as the auction manager for AEP Ohio CBP. So in today's presentation, we will provide an overview of the competitive bidding process, details on the qualification and auction process, and we'll also cover information specific to this auction, including the product available and the calendar with deadlines. We're starting off with this presentation with a note regarding an expected change to the product to be procured in this March 2022 auction that is scheduled to be held on Tuesday, March 8th. Based on AEP Ohio's current schedule approved on June 16, 2021 under case number 17-2391-EL-UNC, this March 2022 auction would seek to procure 50 tranches of a 24-month product with the contract term June 1, 2022 to May 31, 2024. So on December 22, 2021, FERC issued an order that will further delay PJM's base residual auction for the 2023-24 delivery year in the dockets that are provided on this slide. Based on the timeline in the FERC order, the BRA for the 2023-24 delivery year is not expected to be held prior to this March 2022 auction. AEP Ohio expects to file a revised schedule to procure 50 tranches of a 12-month product for this March 2022 auction. The filing has not yet been made by AEP Ohio and as such is subject to change and subject to the approval of the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio. The requirements for participation that are described in this presentation are going to be based on the anticipation that this March 2022 auction will seek to procure a single 12-month product. I'm going to start with a disclaimer. Any statements herein describing or referring to documents and agreements are summaries only and are qualified in their entirety by reference to such governing documents. The governing documents include orders from the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio in the cases provided in the first bullet on this slide. Other governing documents include the CBP rules, which are the bidding rules for the auctions, the Master Standard Service Offer, or SSO, supply agreement, the rules and protocols for participation by associated bidders, and the Part 1 and Part 2 applications. These documents are all currently posted. They're available on the CBP website, which is aepohiocbp.com. As I mentioned, NERA Economic Consulting serves as the auction manager for the auctions under AEP Ohio's competitive bidding process. Our role is to be the main point of contact with bidders, to ensure the CBP rules approved by the commission are followed and that bidder qualifications are evaluated equitably and fairly. We will administer the auction and then we will submit a report on the results to the commission. The agenda for today's presentation is as follows. In the first part of the presentation, I'll provide an overview of AEP Ohio's electric security plan and the auctions generally. I'll then provide a description of the product design and contract. I'll pass the presentation to Matt Pettit next. He'll continue with an overview of the CBP website and the application process details, including the requirements to qualify. Next, Rachel Northcutt will continue the presentation with information regarding bids and bidding in the auction. At the end of the presentation, we'll respond to any questions. So in the prior auction held in November 2021, a 12-month product was available for supply period beginning June 1, 2022. There were 14 registered bidders and the range for the starting price or round one price was between $60 and $80 per megawatt hour. 50 tranches were procured in the auction at a clearing price of $55.14. The commission accepted the results on November 3rd, 2021. The tranches available in the auction are load following, slice of system, full requirements tranches. Each tranche represents a fixed percentage of the load of SSO customers. SSO customers are customers who take retail generation service from AEP Ohio, excluding PIP customers, who are customers on AEP Ohio's percentage of income payment plan. The delivery point is the PNode ID provided here on this slide. And lastly, a note that SSO suppliers or winners at the auction assume the responsibility as the load serving entity in PJM, including the responsibility for scheduling SSO supply and making arrangements for delivery of SSO supply. As mentioned on the last slide, the load of SSO customers is divided into a number of tranches. The tranche target, or the number of available tranches in this auction, is 50. Each tranche, again, represents 1% of the load of SSO customers, and that means that a supplier that serves a single tranche of the product available in this auction provides all necessary services to meet the needs of 1% of the load of SSO customers for 12 months beginning on June 1, 2022. There's a load cap of 40 tranches in the auction, and the load cap is a limit on the number of tranches a supplier can bid on and win in the auction. The format for the auctions held under AEP Ohio's ESP4 is a clock auction. So in this March auction, there will be multiple tranches available for a single term. There are multiple rounds, and in each round, suppliers state how many tranches they want to supply at the going price announced by the auction manager. And then from one round to the next, the auction continues, and the price will decrease or tick down if there's excess supply, which is when suppliers bid to supply more tranches than the number of tranches available. The auction closes when the number of tranches bid is equal to or less than the number of tranches that are being procured. There will be no sealed bid round. Instead, bidders supply exit prices as they withdraw tranches. And the auction will establish a single clearing price that's applicable to all tranches and all winning suppliers. We provide on this slide an announcement of the minimum and maximum starting prices and a megawatt measure. So the round one price announced by the auction manager for this March auction will be selected between $70 to $90 per megawatt hour. We also provide here the PLC in megawatts for SSO customers, excluding PIP customers. This PLC figure is based on the five highest coincident peaks experienced by PJM and is applicable to the upcoming 2022-23 delivery year. The PLC is 2,071 megawatts provided here on the second table, and below that figure we provide for reference and informational purposes only the megawatt measure for a tranche. Please note that this figure is for reference and informational purposes only because the amount of actual quantity to be delivered will depend on many factors, including migration of SSO customers. Suppliers are paid the auction clearing price for each megawatt hour of supply during the delivery term times a seasonal factor. The seasonal factor is expected to be one. This next slide lays out the key events over the next 2+ months. So the application process is in two parts. First, applicants will submit the Part 1 application with their qualification materials beginning this Thursday, January 13th. That's when the online Part 1 form will become available. The Part 1 application must be submitted by noon on the Part 1 date on January 28th. Applicants that become qualified bidders pursuant to a successful Part 1 application will be notified that they can submit a Part 2 application on the Part 1 notification date on February 3rd. And then the following day, applicants can begin submitting the Part 2 application materials, including posting pre-bid security. The Part 2 application is due February 22nd. Bidders are notified whether they're registered bidders eligible to participate in the auction on the Part 2 notification date on March 1st. Registered bidders at that time will receive a bidder manual for preparation for participation in the auction. Applicants will have the opportunity to practice using the auction software and bid submission procedures in a trial. The trial auction will be held on March 2nd. That's a week before the auction on March 8th. We're going to make several announcements throughout the process. That includes providing an update to the seasonal factors and megawatt measure as necessary on February 4th. We'll announce the round one price to registered bidders on March 3rd. As I mentioned, the application process is in two parts, and both parts will be completed entirely online. Applicants will submit the Part 1 and Part 2 application materials through online forms. With the Part 1 application, these materials include providing required contact and company information for the bidder and supporting documents, including financial information. Applicants are also required to upload what we call inserts. These inserts are provided by us in Microsoft Word format for you to complete. Matt's going to provide additional information on these required inserts and acceptable signatures in the next section of the presentation. The Part 2 application materials will include providing an indicative offer, uploading more inserts, and then providing either a pre-bid letter of credit or cash in an amount that supports the indicative offer. Again, Matt will cover these requirements in more detail in the next section. Importantly, no hard copy versions of any documents will be required. So the auction results on March 8th are contingent on final commission approval. The auction manager will submit a confidential report on the auction results to the commission on the day after the auction closes, and the commission will issue a decision within 2 days of auction close. If the commission does not act within this window, the auction results are deemed accepted. The commission may publicly release the auction clearing price and the names of the winning bidders from the auction. And within 3 days of commission's acceptance of the results, the master SSO supply agreement will be fully executed and winning bidders fulfill creditworthiness requirements. So that completes the overview section. Before I turn the presentation to Matt, I'm going to cover two slides in part two here that provide more detail on the product design and the contract, including credit requirements. So SSO suppliers or winners in the auction will assume all responsibilities of a load serving entity in PJM for the percentage of the load they serve and are responsible for providing full requirements service, including energy, capacity, and ancillary services to SSO customers, which again excludes PIP customers. SSO suppliers bear all costs that are associated with this responsibility. Full requirement service and the LSE obligations of SSO suppliers are defined in the master SSO supply agreement. And in particular, please see attachment F of the agreement. There's a sample PJM invoice with each billing line item and an indication of whether it's the responsibility of the SSO supplier or of AEP Ohio. There are two distinct credit requirements, and corresponding to those requirements are two distinct unsecured credit lines that the SSO supplier or its guarantor may qualify for. The first credit requirement is the independent credit requirement, or ICR, and that's an amount per tranche that declines throughout the term of the agreement. Corresponding to the ICR requirement is an unsecured credit line called the independent credit threshold that can be used to meet the ICR. Whether a supplier or guarantor qualifies for the independent credit threshold depends on criteria that's provided in the SSO agreement. A creditworthiness evaluation is conducted in the Part 1 application process, and it can provide some information regarding how the supplier or its guarantor would be treated in regards to credit under the contract. The second credit requirement is the mark-to-market exposure. That exposure is based on the difference between the prevailing market prices and the market prices that were in effect on the date of the auction. To meet this section requirement, this second requirement, a supplier or guarantor can depend on a credit limit that could be granted to the supplier or guarantor, again, based on criteria provided in the agreement. Under the terms of the agreement, a supplier can use a guarantee with a creditworthy guarantor. A supplier can also post a letter of credit. A form of guarantee and letter of credit are provided as attachments to the master SSO agreement. A supplier could also post cash to meet credit requirements. So that completes the couple of slides on provisions of the master SSO supply agreement. I'm going to now turn the presentation over to Matt for part three.
Thank you, Katie. So in this section, I will be providing an overview of the auction website. So the auction website can be found at aepohiocbp.com, and it is the central source of information related to the auction, where bidders can find posted announcements relating to the auction, a schedule with important dates for the current auction, auction documents, as well as data provided by AEP Ohio. And bidders can navigate the website by using the panel on the left-hand side of the screen, as shown here. Again, a link to the application website is available at the bottom of the navigation bar. So selecting the information tab will display the link to access the documents page along with the links to the announcements and FAQs pages. So on the documents page, bidders can find the auction rules, the master SSO supply agreement, the pre-bid security documents, as well as the digital signatures guide. Also on this page are the illustrated versions of the Part 1 and Part 2 forms. And lastly, this webcast will also be posted to the documents page. Selecting the Data Room tab will bring you to the page with data, which is made available by AEP Ohio, and that data includes hourly energy data, customer count data, PLC and NSPL data, and monthly switching statistics. And this data will be updated each month by the 20th of that month. To contact us, the auction manager, you can select the Contact Us page of the website. Here you can also register to receive announcements regarding the current auction and any future auctions. You can also register to receive login credentials to access the qualification forms to participate in the auction. And lastly, you can ask a question by selecting the Ask a Question link or by emailing us at aep-cbp@nira.com. All questions get submitted to the auction manager, and we do aim to provide a response within 2 business days. So in this upcoming section, I'll discuss the application process and review some of the information bidders will need to provide along with their Part 1 and Part 2 online forms. So once your account is active, you can navigate to the online forms directly by going to aepohiocbp-application.com, or you can navigate to the application site through the auction website, as I mentioned earlier, by clicking on the link at the bottom of the navigation bar on the left-hand side of the screen that reads Application Website. If you are a new applicant and you have not yet registered for an account to access the online forms, to submit your application, you should do that ahead of the Part 1 window opening. You can register by going to aepohiocbp.com and clicking on the Register for an Application Account link on the left-hand side of the screen under the Contact Us tab. Alternatively, you can send an email to aep-cbp@nira.com with the contact information that we request here. And the individual that registered for the account will receive an email with account activation instructions prior to the opening of the Part 1 window. Current account holders do not need to re-register through the website or by email. A current account holder is a returning bidder that qualified to participate in an auction in 2020 or later, or an entity that registered for an account in 2020 or later. So if you meet this criteria, even though you do not need to re-register, every account holder will need to activate their account in order to access the online forms. So for a returning bidder that qualified to participate in an auction in 2020 or later, the representative will receive an email with an activation link prior to the opening of the Part 1 window. If you are an account holder as of 2020 but have not qualified, that individual that registered for the account will receive this email with the activation link. The auction manager will send instructions to access and complete the online forms to current and new account holders prior to the opening of the Part 1 window. These instructions will include screenshots for how to activate your account. First, as a reminder, the website to fill out the form is again different from the AEP auction website. As part of the Part 1 form, the applicant will provide certain contact information, including information about the authorized representative, who will be the point of contact for correspondence between the auction manager and the applicant. The applicant will provide contact information for a legal representative, as well as designate any nominees to be included in the correspondence between the applicant and the auction manager. The contact information fields, again, as with the prior auction, will no longer be pre-populated, and those will need to be provided anew. Bidders will also be asked to provide information related to its status as a PJM member and indicate whether it is a market buyer, market seller, and whether it has qualified as a load-serving entity. With the Part 1 application, bidders are required to make a number of certifications agreeing to the auction rules and to the terms of the Master SSO Supply Agreement and agreeing to keep certain auction-related information confidential. Bidders will also need to provide financial statements and credit ratings for the entity upon whose financial standing the bidder is relying. Note that additional information will be required for a foreign bidder or a bidder relying on the financial standing of a foreign guarantor. There is also a section in the Part 1 form where bidders may provide modifications to the pre-bid letter of credit. Bidders will be required to submit pre-bid security in the form of cash or pre-bid letter of credit with the Part 2 application, so these modifications would be your opportunity to propose changes to the standard form of this document. Again, the pre-bid letter of credit is required to be sent as an electronic PDF file by email to the auction manager at aep-cbp@nira.com. So please review the standard form of the pre-bid letter of credit to see if you would like to propose any modifications through the Part 1 window. AEP Ohio will review any proposed modifications and a response will be provided indicating which changes will be acceptable and which are not. A preliminary list of acceptable modifications can be found on the documents page of the auction website. As part of the Part 1 and Part 2 applications, you will be required to fill out inserts, which are documents that are submitted alongside the rest of the applications as separate Microsoft Word documents. All inserts can be found on the auction website at aepohiocbp.com on the documents page under the information tab on the left-hand side of the screen. And all inserts of the applications are available in the correspondingly named zip files. As part of the Part 1 and Part 2 applications, again, bidders will be required to upload certain inserts. These inserts can either be completed by printing, signing, scanning, and uploading the insert to the online form, or by using a digital signature accompanied by additional documentation or information verifying the identity of the signatory. And digital signatures may be used in lieu of a notarization. If you do choose to use a digital signature, additional documentation or information verifying the identity of the signatory could include a certificate of completion from DocuSign, a final audit report from Adobe Sign, evidence that the digital signature has been certified using a document signing certificate, such as through Adobe Acrobat, or some other documentation or information produced by a commercially available software that can be used to verify the identity of the signatory. And a guide to providing digital signatures is available on the documents page of the CBP website. So this slide shows all of the Part 1 inserts and to whom they apply. Also included are the situations in which certain inserts are required and whether notarizations are needed to complete them. So the representative designation insert, the representative responsibilities insert, and the certifications insert are required by all bidders for each auction. On the other hand, the PJM requirements insert and bidding agreements are only necessary in specific situations. And these are outlined in the illustrated Part 1 form. Again, most inserts will be required to be provided anew as part of completing the Part 1 application. An exception is that regarding the legal representative insert, returning bidders will be asked to confirm that the information that the auction manager has on file remains the most up-to-date. If the bidder does successfully complete the Part 1 application, they will receive a Part 1 notification from the auction manager and will be invited to submit a Part 2 application. So with the Part 2 application, bidders can submit their indicative offer, which will need to be supported by their pre-bid security in the form of cash or the electronic pre-bid letter of credit, as well as make a number of additional certifications. Additionally, foreign entities will have a number of extra requirements to provide with the Part 2 application. So the indicative offer is the maximum number of tranches a bidder would be willing to bid at the minimum announced starting price and the maximum announced starting price. The indicative offer at the maximum starting price is the number on which the amount of pre-bid security the bidder must provide with its Part 2 application is based. In turn, that number is then used as the maximum number of tranches a bidder will be able to bid in the first round of the auction, which will be referred to as the bidder's initial eligibility. There are additional rules that can limit the number of tranches a bidder can win in the auction. Specifically, a bidder may not win more than 80% of the tranches available in the auction. A bidder may also be limited by a credit-based tranche cap. This is determined by a creditworthiness assessment made by AEP Ohio, which is based on the financial information that the bidder provides as part of its Part 1 application. More specifically, the assessment is made using the credit ratings provided in the online Part 1 form in accordance with the table on this slide. Bidders can review the results of their creditworthiness assessment in their Part 1 notification. So bidders, again, will need to submit pre-bid security with the Part 2 application in the form of cash or a pre-bid letter of credit. The amount of pre-bid security is equal to $500,000 per tranche of the indicative offer at the maximum starting price. And as a reminder, additional pre-bid security will not be required, assuming that, again, the changes that Katie was referencing take hold. Bidders must also make a number of certifications with their Part 2 applications, certifying to comply with the associations and confidential information rules, and certifying to keep information related to the auction confidential. Again, for bidders electing to provide a pre-bid letter of credit, the pre-bid letter of credit may only be submitted by the issuing bank to the auction manager as an electronic PDF by email to aep-cbp@nearit.com. Hard copy versions of the pre-bid letter of credit will not be accepted. The standard form of the pre-bid letter of credit allows for its electronic transmission. Specifically, the beneficiary block lists the email address of the auction manager, and paragraph 14 contains language confirming AEP Ohio may use the electronic PDF as it would a hard copy original. So again, please review the standard form of the pre-bid letter of credit ahead of the Part 1 deadline, so you may propose changes to that standard form if you so choose. The last few requirements of the Part 2 application include bidders making additional certifications confirming any bids submitted in the auction are binding. And lastly, foreign bidders or bidders relying on the financial standing of a foreign entity must provide the executed versions of the draft documents that they provided as part of the Part 1 application. And note that these executed versions must include any modifications required by AEP Ohio. So just like with the Part 1 form, the Part 2 form will again require bidders to provide inserts, and bidders submitting cash as pre-bid security will need to provide the cash certification insert, while all bidders must provide the Part 2 certifications insert. And again, these inserts may be printed, signed, scanned, and uploaded to the Part 2 form, or completed using a digital signature accompanied by additional documentation or information verifying the identity of the signatory, and then uploaded to the form. And I will now pass along the presentation to Rachel.
Thanks, Matt. So I'll end today's presentation by providing some additional information regarding bidding in the auction. Now, if a bidder satisfies all requirements of the Part 2 application, that bidder will receive a Part 2 notification from the auction manager and will be eligible to bid in the auction. As we discussed earlier, the format of the auction is a descending clock auction with multiple rounds during which the price ticks down if there is excess supply. And in each round, bidders specify the number of tranches they're willing to supply at the announced price in that round. Bidders will submit their bids in the auction using an online auction software. Each round in the auction is made up of three phases: bidding, calculating, and reporting. Bidders state the number of tranches they're willing to supply at the going price for that round during the bidding phase. And once the bidding phase ends, the calculating phase begins, and the auction manager then tabulates the results of that round and calculates the next round's going price. After the calculating phase ends, the reporting phase begins, and at this time, bidders will be provided with the going price for the next round. And bidders will also be provided with the results of their own bid in that round. Note that bidders will have access to the results of their own bid, but will not have access to the results of another bidder's bid. At the end of the reporting phase, the bidding phase for the next round begins, and the cycle continues until the auction ends. Now, if it is determined that there is insufficient supply to ensure competitive bidding, the auction manager can reduce the tranche target for the 12-month product. And the specific criteria that could lead to this reduction will be determined ahead of time, prior to the auction. But this information will be kept confidential and will not be provided to bidders. However, once the specific criteria have been met, the discretion to reduce the tranche target will be eliminated, and the value of the target will hold through the end of the auction. The starting price, or the round one price, is provided to registered bidders ahead of the auction. A bid in round one is the number of tranches a bidder is willing to supply at the round one price. In round one, a bidder cannot bid more tranches than its initial eligibility. And a reminder here that a bidder's initial eligibility is equal to its indicative offer at the maximum starting price that was provided in its online Part 2 form. In round one, a bidder can bid a number of tranches equal to its initial eligibility or a number of tranches less than its initial eligibility, but a bidder cannot increase the number of tranches it bids from one round to the next. So a bidder choosing to bid less than its initial eligibility in round one will only be able to bid that same amount or less in subsequent rounds. So after the bidding phase ends, the auction will enter the calculating phase, and the auction manager will tabulate the results of the round and calculate the next round's going price. Then this information is made available to bidders in the reporting phase. Now, this slide gives an example of the information provided to bidders in the reporting phase. Bidders will see the next round's price and a range of total excess supply. And the actual value of excess supply, which is equal to the total number of tranches bid in the auction minus the tranche target, will fall within this given range. In this example, the range reported to bidders is 91 to 95, which means that the actual value of excess supply can be equal to 91 or 95 or any value in between. Bidders will also have access to the results of their own bid. But as I said earlier, bidders will not have access to the results of any other bidder's bid. and information regarding a bidder's bid, identity, or eligibility will not be accessible to other bidders. Now, starting in round two, in response to a reduction in price, bidders may either leave their bid the same as in the previous round, or bidders can withdraw tranches from the auction. Again, a bidder cannot bid more than its eligibility. In round one, this value is the bidder's initial eligibility. In round two, a bidder's eligibility is equal to the number of tranches that the bidder bid in round one. And in round three and subsequent rounds, a bidder's eligibility is equal to the eligibility from the prior round minus any tranches that the bidder withdrew from the auction. When a bidder withdraws tranches from the auction, the bidder will be prompted to provide what's called an exit price. And this is a best and last offer for the tranches that are being withdrawn from the auction. An exit price must be greater than the current round going price, but below or equal to the previous round going price. In the example shown here, a bidder is withdrawing one tranche from the auction, and where it was bidding on six tranches, it's now bidding on five. The bidder submits an exit price of $68.12, which is above the going price of $66.50, but below the previous round's price of $70 per megawatt hour. And if the auction continues on to round three, the bidder's eligibility will be five tranches. The auction will continue as long as there is excess supply. The auction will end when the total number of tranches bid is either just equal to the tranche target or if the total number of tranches is less than the tranche target. The final price, or the auction clearing price, is determined in one of two ways. If the number of tranches bid is exactly equal to the number of tranches available, the auction clearing price is the going price in that final round. If the total number of tranches bid is less than the total number of tranches available, the auction clearing price is equal to the lowest exit price at which the tranche target is filled. This slide provides an example of how the auction clearing price is determined in the case where the total number of tranches bid in a round falls below the tranche target. Here you'll see that in the number bid column, the total number of tranches bid across all bidders fell from 52 to 47, so the auction will close. To fill the target of 50 tranches, we'll first take the 47 tranches bid at the round 12 going price. And we're still short three tranches, so we will need to retain some of the withdrawn tranches, and the exit prices submitted by the bidders will be used to set the auction clearing price. To decide which of the tranches will be retained, we'll consider the exit prices from lowest to highest. We need to retain three tranches total to fill the target. We'll first select the two tranches with the lowest exit price of $38.69 from bidder A, and we're still short one tranche. We'll then select the tranche with the next lowest exit price, which is the single tranche withdrawn by bidder B with an exit price of $38.99. We've now filled the target of 50 tranches, and the auction clearing price will be equal to bidder B's exit price of $38.99. We will not retain any of the withdrawn tranches from bidder C, and all bidders who are holding tranches will receive the same clearing price of $38.99. Before wrapping up the presentation, I'll provide a few more reminders about the auction. First, bidders will have an opportunity to practice submitting bids using the auction software in a trial auction on March 2nd. During the auction, if you are experiencing any technical difficulties, the backup procedure for submitting your bids is to do so by phone. Technical assistance will be available to take your bid over the phone and submit it into the software on your behalf. Now, the last bid submitted and verified in the bidding phase and processed by the auction software is the bid that counts. A backup bid processed over the phone will only count if it's entered and verified by the technical assistant in the bidding phase and processed by the auction software. So it's the bidder's responsibility to provide a complete bid consistent with the CDP rules and to get the bid in on time. For purposes of using the online auction software, please be sure that you're using any of the supported web browsers listed here and that you have a stable internet connection. If you need to reach us, please contact the auction manager by email at aep-cbp@nira.com. And as a reminder, if you intend to submit a pre-bid letter of credit as pre-bid security, it must be sent electronically to this same email address.